Shalom, and welcome to another 2 hours of Jewish Soul Music. I'm your host, Charlie Bernhout. You know that each week I try to bring you the best in Chazonis and other Jewish music, and occasionally I do specials, and this is a special dedicated to the late cantor Louis Danto. Cantor Danto was born in 1929. He died in 2010 at the age of 81. This program will feature interviews with his family and friends, and you'll hear a great variety of his wonderful recordings. Before we get to interviews, let's hear a couple of his selections. We'll intersperse interviews and selections throughout the program. This is going to run a little more than 2 hours, so let's immediately get to Shomea Vatismach Tzion. This is cantor Louis Danto.
Oh.
Okay, we're going to hear a lot of this wonderful recordings of Cantor Danto. We'll next hear something from Judas Maccabeus. You know, we just had Hanukkah recently, and it's certainly appropriate to hear Sound and Alarm. Sound and Alarm from Judas Maccabeus.
My arms against this gorgeous wheel I go. The idly ungoverned love shall know how vain, how ineffective is design. While the rage is leader, can Jehovah mine? Sound an alarm, sound an alarm, you'll see.
That was Sound and Alarm, and I think that one of the things that you will note and appreciate is the great versatility of Cantor Danto. Pleased to have with me Ruchama Danto, the wife of the late Cantor Louis Danto, and we're going to be discussing Cantor Danto's life, and shalom, Ruchama.
Shalom, Rav, Charlie.
Okay, first of all, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, about myself, what can I say? I am eighth generation from Jerusalem, from Jerusalem. Coming from a family of rabbis and musicians. My father actually was a teacher of cantors in Israel, and many cantors from Israel know him. He was not a chazan, but he was a musician and a bal tefila, a very good bal tefila. So that's where I have the love for music. I myself played the violin and accordion. And what can I say more?
What was your
sent from Israel as an exchange teacher
uh-huh.
to Yeshiva Flatbush in Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
And then when it was time to go back, I met my husband and I got stuck here.
what was your maiden name?
Lebel, L-E-B-E-L.
In Hebrew, Lebel.
Lamed Aleph, Bet Lamed.
Uh-huh, that was your dad.
Lebel.
Okay, so when did you get married to Cantor Danto?
I got married in 1969 in Cleveland, actually. I went to visit friends, and just before I was supposed to go back to Israel after my shlichut, and those friend of mine knew Grisha, as I call him, as a very close friend called my husband, and they invited him also, and they introduced us,
uh-huh.
and it took one meeting. And that's the rest is history.
Okay, that's the way it happens. So tell us about your husband, a little bit of his history.
Yeah. Well, he was born in Suwalki in Poland on May 2nd, 1929. And Suwalki is on the border of Poland and Russia. And during the war, you know, it went back and forth and back and forth. When he was 10 years old, when he was 9, actually, he was sent from Suwalk to a competition of children from all white Russia. He actually won the first place. Singing a Hebrew song, he sang Beshadmot Bethlehem. They did not really care. It was not a Jewish competition. They did not care what he's singing. They cared how he's singing.
Uh-huh.
And he won the first place. But at this time, when he was away there, the German came into his city and killed everybody.
Oh.
And he remained alone, 10 years old, in this hostile Europe. No money, no food, no clothing, no way. And he had to run around for and look for his parents. He went on trains. He was thrown out. And you can imagine how he tried to travel. The main thing that I want to say is that in every place that he came, and he looked for he didn't know where to go to sleep, where to go to eat, where to go. He looked for a music school. And and when he went to any music school and they tried him, he said, "I want to learn." He always got a stipendium to stay there and to study. But he never could stay more because he was really, he was worried about his family. And he was, so after a few months, he used to run away and look for another place. And what can I say to make a long story short? He was running from place to place. There was one time that he was looking for work. He was 12 years old, and there was a line of of people to take them across the in order to chop wood to send to the city in Russia. And they took them to a certain island. He had to stay in water until his waist. And chop wood and to send it. One day he decided, "I cannot do it anymore. I will lose my voice. I will lose my life." And he ran away. He ran in the middle of night, swimming on this freezing water to the other side. And he made it. At a certain point, the Haganah looked for children, for orphan children, you know, to bring to Israel. And somehow they found him also. And they collected about 10 children. They told them to crawl. They said, that far there, you see a tree, crawl until there, and there will be another group that will take you from the Haganah. They will take you to Italy. Anyway, it was a group of about 10 children, and they crawled, and suddenly shooting, and he was the only one who made it.
Oh, wow.
And all of them, he had a feeling. He said, God is watching over me personally. I feel it. He felt that he was really saved for a certain purpose. It's because it's really amazing. He got to Italy, he told them, look, I'm in Italy. He was by then already 13 or 14. He told them, you know, I want to study singing, and I'm in Italy. I would like to stay here. And they told him, if somebody will say that you are a legitimate talent, we will help you to stay here. And they took him to, somebody took him to Beniamino Gigli. Beniamino Gigli, you know, was the classical singer of Italy.
Uh-huh.
His main thing is the bel canto singing. His main style. It's singing, it's not pushing, and it's not shrying, and it's not kvetching. It's really beautiful. This is the meaning of bel canto, beautiful singing. Anyway, he listened to Grisha, and he said, uh-huh, okay, and he took him under his wing. He studied with Beniamino Gigli 3 years or 4 years, and that's where he got this style of singing. It's beautiful singing, high, but not with any pressure,
uh-huh.
Smooth and even, and beautiful singing. And that's the way that he knew how to sing. No matter what he will sing, it will always be bel canto. And that's how he was known in the world, really, with this, I don't know, even if he will sing Havana Gila, it will be bel canto singing. This is the way he knew how to sing.
Right.
And this was his specialty. Anyway, so he stayed there and in Italy, and that's where he studied also not only Beniamino Gigli, but Tito Scipa, which is also one of the biggest singers in Italy at that time.
Uh-huh.
So these two, Tito Scipa and Beniamino Gigli, were his teachers. But all this time, he was away from Jewish singing. When he was sent to that competition, he used to know only Hebrew, and he was the soloist of his synagogue in Suwalk. But during all this time of the war, he was away from Jews and away from Jewish singing. And he missed it a lot. He said that his father wanted him always to be a chazan. Anyway, somebody looked at the forwards, the Yiddish paper in Italy, and they found somebody by the name of Danto in United States. By the way, Danto is his mother's name.
Uh-huh.
His father's name and his name is Marchuk. But when he came to United States, he decided that it's not a stage name, Marchuk. So he took his mother's name, Danto. Uh-huh. Anyway, so he managed, so this uncle of his brought him to New York, and he was thinking, oh my goodness, I'm coming to New York, and everything. And then this uncle took him to Broadway, to a nightclub, and he said, here is a nightclub, you'll make a lot of money, sing here. And he said to him, uncle, it's not me. This is not what I'm singing. I need to, this is not my type of music. And he wanted very much to go back to Jewish singing. And he went to Yeshiva of Mil in Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
And he studied about 3-4 years there. And together with this, he studied He studied the Chazanut and singing with the Dr. Pigel, which was also a actually Pigel is the father-in-law of Fischer Dieskau, which is a voice teacher that he studied with him all the time. He got back to the Yiddishkeit and studied the teacher that I'm trying to remember, the teacher that taught him Chazanut, because
was
you
it
know,
the,
he came to the United States, money he did not have much.
Was that Leo Lowe or Zales?
Pardon me?
Leo Lowe or Herman Zales? Who was the teacher? Who were they teachers?
Leo Lowe. Yeah, okay.
Yes.
He was teaching him, yes. And I'm looking if I have a... I didn't prepare that. So he studied, yes. He studied with Leo Lowe, and he studied voice with the Dr. Pigel, and he studied in the yeshiva. So the first position as a chazan was in Bayonne, New Jersey.
Really?
Yes. He was there for a year,
mm-hmm.
and that was a tremendous, to be a chazan. And then he was in Atlantic Beach, in an Orthodox synagogue. He was about 7 years there, in Atlantic Beach. From there, he went to Park Synagogue in Cleveland. And actually, in every place that he was many years. He did not really change places from where they,
mm-hmm.
They loved him everywhere. And he made an impact everywhere. He was in Cleveland for about 7 years. And then he came to Toronto. So this is, in short, his life.
Wow. It must have been fascinating to be part of that experience and to see...
It's a fascinating life. I want to tell you that right now, even today, I met somebody. I went to a Shiva house and I met somebody. Everybody mentions that it's not only the voice and the musicianship and the artistry of the singing, but it's the Menschlichkeit. Everybody has a story how he helped. When the Russian came, the Russian jury came from Russia to Toronto, our garage was full with clothing and with furniture for them. The cars were outside, but he made weddings for people who were married in Russia for years, but not in a Jewish wedding.
Wow.
He made in our synagogue, in Beth Emma Synagogue, a wedding for them, for many of them. They cannot forget it. We really furnished a... now they can help me, those people there from Russia. Okay, really, it just
very
like
nice.
He loved Jews, he loved Yiddishkeit, he loved... besides, and that's it. And and his character is really, Menschlichkeit, that's the only thing I can say, is unusual. That's what he's known for, beside the voice, beside the way that he expressed. You know, people used to tell me in the synagogue, I don't understand Hebrew, but I understand the tefillah when Danto is singing.
Yes, well, that's when it's real soul music, I call
exactly.
it.
Exactly. You know, I want to tell you, when he said... El Malei Rachamim, on the high holidays, there was not a dry eye in the audience.
Hmm.
He saw all his family in front of his eyes when he said it.
Wow.
And everybody said nobody. So you know, on this set of CDs that I'm telling you, there is a set of four CDs, 50 years of music. I don't know if you have it. I insisted that he will put this El Malei Rachamim, even though he told me, El Malei Rachamim, you don't put it on a... I said yes, because the way that you sang it, this set is called a musical moment, 50 years of musical treasures. So he listened to me, and now some chazanim are asking me, you know, in this El Malei Rachamim, he mentioned all the camps.
Oh, yes.
All those places that are. And every year, a person used to come to him and just mention my camp also, my city also.
Wow.
And he added it. And he added it. Every year it was more and more.
Wow.
So certain tefillot is known for, exactly as he's known for certain things in classical music. He's known for the pearl fisher that he used to sing. He's known, there are certain things that he used to sing that made him, really. But the same as certain tefillot. And the Elma Lerachamim is one of them, which is very, as I said, he just...
Ruchama, I have to get that, and after this two-hour special, I hope to have that to play for my audience. Listen, I really thank you so much for your thoughts.
And if you have any question, you know, you'll have to edit it. No,
this is fine. I don't...
Any questions later, please?
Okay.
Okay, Charlie, good to talk to you.
Same. Shalom.
Okay.
Okay, that was the interview with Ruchama Danto, and those of you who have heard my interviews over the years know that I don't edit. in a rare instance where something was really inappropriate, I don't know that, I can't even think that it ever happened that way, but... The interview is what you hear. There's no phonying it up. Okay, back to Cantor Danto. This is Hamaavir Bonov, Cantor Louis Danto.
Oh, my God.
Wow, beautiful voice, wouldn't you say? Let's hear Cantadanta with Michael Mashmalan.
Warten.
I'm very pleased to have with me a cantor, Benny Meisner, of Holy Blossom Temple in Toronto, who was a good friend of cantor Louis Danto. Shalom, cantor Meisner.
Shalom, shalom.
Well, I understand you were a good friend of cantor Danto.
Very, very good friend, very dear colleague, and personal friend of his for many, many years.
Okay, perhaps you want to share some of your thoughts and reminiscences of the cantor.
Well, I met cantor Danto many years ago when I came to the United States from Israel to study at the Hebrew College and became a member of the Cantor's Assembly. I met a young, beautiful nightingale, beautiful voice, an incredible artist by the name of Louis Danto. We used to call him Grisha. The connection to Louis Danto is not only through his beautiful voice and artistry, but his lovely wife, Rochama, is the daughter of my elementary school teacher in Israel, in the Bilu School in Tel Aviv. Her father was my mentor and classroom teacher in grade 4, 5, and 6. So I know Rochama, his wife, for many, many years, and when I came to Toronto in 1979, after many years that I have been mingling with Louis at the Candles Assembly conventions and listened to his glorious voice, we became very, very close friends here in Toronto, really the haven of Chazanut in the second part of the 20th century. Toronto was a very unique city with great, great Chazanim at the time, such as Louis Danto and Frank Rosenberg and David Bagley and some great reform cantors, Seven Weingart, great musicians like Saul Irving Gleick, composers, and Ben Steinberg and Lou Applebaum and Milton Barnes, all great, great composers that contribute to Jewish music. And Louis was very much involved in all this music, not only in Chazanut, but in early Hebrew music and Yiddish and art songs and Hebrew art songs and chalutz songs. And he was an incredible, rounded artist with a phenomenal voice and incredible musicianship of the first class or the highest class in the artistic delivery of his music, which came out of his neshama, out of his heart. But God touched his vocal cords and enhanced them in such a way that when he sang, people just were sent to a different world, different level of transcendental kind of existence. He brought not only tears but laughter to the people. It was a great sport. He'd get up in parties and sing an Italian song, or he, of course, used to sing the famous aria from the Pearlfisher. In such an incredible way. You know that he was also a great artist of Russian and Italian and Yiddish, Hebrew, all kind of different languages. He sang in Carnegie Hall as well, and there's much to say about him, but most important, at the Omid, at the synagogue where he was davening, every word was executed in such high class of understanding and the interpretation of the liturgy with the right embellishment of Nusach, which was absolutely impeccable.
He had a certain sweetness in his voice, you know. There was something almost mystical in his voice.
Transcendental in any piece and every, you know, dynamics and range and interpretation and understanding the depth of every piece of music that he sang, whether it was Jewish Baroque or early music or classical, you know, European Western Jewish music, Louis Lewandowski and Zulzer and Namberg and Eisenstadt and all the other great composers of the West. And of course, when it came to his East European Chazanut, was none like him in execution of the liturgy. He was incredibly interested in the depth of the compositions and the creation and the creativity of Leib Glantz, and he was one of the few, if not the only one, who could really deliver a Glantz piece, not by imitating, God forbid, Glantz's voice, which was also very unique and mystical, but the essence and the DNA of what Glantz wanted to interpret, and you know, in pieces such as Eskir Elohim, or Tal, or Shema Israel. An anecdote about my own uncle Israel Alter, who of course composed the Akavya ben Mahalel, famous one that everybody sang, actually distorted the original composition to his dismay, because he was very unhappy about all the additions and the transitions that Akavya went through. But at one convention, Louis, Alav HaShalom, sang the Akavya, and my uncle was just transformed into a different world. And I remember going over to him and kissing him and pinching his cheek and say, that was absolutely phenomenal. He said, I couldn't have sung it better. Absolutely. And, you know, Israel Alter was Israel Alter.
Yes, yes, for sure. One of the greats of I call it the late golden age.
Absolutely.
Well, I thank you so much for sharing these thoughts. Any other closing thoughts about Cantor Danto?
No, not really. You know, he fell sick, and unfortunately he died before his time. We spent a lot of time together to the bitter end, and I remember being with him and joking, and even at his last days, Ruchama and I used to always, you know, smile about it. As fatigued and weak he was, he could still produce this beautiful falsetto of his voice, and we always had a great laugh until the very end. And he really was a blessing to anybody that knew him and was touched by his personality and by his voice and by his special human being that he was. He also shared his music with everybody. He had an incredible library that was now transferred down to the Atlantic Florida University.
Yes.
And all his incredible library, which was like endless.
Uh-huh. Well, we're so fortunate that we have his wonderful recordings, which will live on for eternity for the future. It's wonderful that he's still alive for many of us.
We used to sit in his house and listen to a lot of recordings of different Italian singers and Chazones, and we had a very mutual admiration for each other, besides the close friendship that we had.
Well, Cantor Benny Meisner, thank you so much for sharing this with us, and this will be part of a two-hour special that will be coming up shortly. Thank you.
Please do, and thank you very much for asking me. I'm honored.
Okay, so that was an interview with Cantor Meisner from Toronto, and interview, it was interesting that his relationship to Cantor Alter, and I must confess, I've been there's so much to do, but I have in my plans, my long range plans, to do a special about Israel Alter, and I will be interviewing Cantor Meisner in the future. The next selection for Cantor Danto will be Das Yiddish Lied.
Der Ried mag sein Ohren, doch ist sehr reif, weil geistige Äußeres
Vermag der Ried Seher Asach Der Ried ist geduldig Sein Betochen ist doch groß Von abrändigen Läufen Kommt er lebendig heraus. Wenn er ruft in Ben Melech, Ajax Nagevir, und jedes Land verschließt von ihm die Tier. Er klagt und er weint, er kennt sie nicht mehr, auf viele sein Gelächter Jesu. Is gemischt mit a Trär. Oi! Es macht sich amol, es geht ihm schön gut, der Mond man im Ball als Riesaid. Und man geht ihm wieder dem Stecken in der Hand Und er sucht ein neues Land. Es kommt ein neuer Jörl, fällt ihm ins Ohr. Singen und tanzen und wehren ein Schmied. Und er riet, reuscher Schone, sitzt in Schul mit. Kavone und er hört von sein Hasen Hasen in der Licht in der
aber wenn es macht sich euch amor, wenn euch freilach ist, ist Ruhel und singt sich freilach von Meure, wenn es kommt um Simchas Tora.
Very pleased to have with me cantor Yehuda Rutner, who was a colleague and close friend of cantor Danto, and he was also his student. And just as an aside, cantor Rutner has recently been engaged by Bethel Congregation in Cedarhurst as their cantor. Shalom, Yehuda.
Shalom Aleichem, Charlie.
Okay, so you... had a very close relationship with the cantor. You want to tell us a little bit how it began and how it developed?
Yes, we're talking about more than 25 years. Even when I was a chazan in Montreal, I was engaged with Danto. I used to come to Toronto, appear with them to in a concert, and he's a wonderful, wonderful teacher, wonderful colleague, and wonderful friend.
You were in Montreal while he was in Toronto?
Right. Right. I was a chazan in Montreal in Congregation Beit Israel, Beit Aaron. And one of the concerts that I used to do that every year, he was one of my guest cantors, and just enjoy him. The technique, the way he sing chazanot, the way he presenting everything was just wonderful. And he was a nice person besides to be a voice teacher and the chazan, he was a wonderful mensch, good heart, understand everything, just wonderful person. It was enjoying to be sitting with him, talking with him. Sometimes he used to take after learning for an hour and a half, we put up some video from Gilly or from Tito Skipa. I was happy to be his, also one of the teachers while he was in Rome after the war, and it was a wonderful experience to be with him, seeing the style of Louis Danto. Everybody in the whole entire world, and they understand Louis Danto is a bel canto style.
Uh-huh.
And actually people don't understand bel canto, it's in Italy, the translation is shira yafa, singing nice. And that was Louis, but he never sing in a forte style. He just was a very legato, very wonderful.
Well,
like the old-fashioned singers, opera, and you can hear this whole record. It's a different kind of style, the range, the motif, the way he present a song. It was such a nice and so much heart. He used to say to me, you know, when two people talk, they cannot hear together, but when they're singing, it just sounds good. He said, why is that? I asked him why. He said, you see, when you sing, you sing from the neshama. When you talk, it's like you're talking. When you sing the neshama, so people can sing, it's two neshamot, that's why it sounds good. If three people sing, it's a trio. And if it's four, it's quartetto. But that's the way you believe on music and singing. This one, I miss him so much. I was last summer in Toronto. I went to the grave, and there's somebody who was, believe he's not here.
He certainly was quite a talent. Not just Chazanes. Apparently, he had a very broad range of interests in music.
Oh yeah, he sing Russian, Yiddish, and English, and Chazanut, and Hasidic, and Israeli, everything, and each one of them was, and his style, and it's so unique style. And he used to sing with kids, because the kids' choirs in Beth Emet, they love him. Everybody in the congregation of Beth Emet just love his personality. You should see him walking Shabbos in the morning in the shul, everybody running and kissing and hugging him.
Really?
He was spread so much love. He said, I'm a Chazan, but I love you. You know, the respect that they give him to Beth Emet is unbelievable.
Well, I've heard about the choirs that he had, and I'm always jealous of that because I think that they're very important in getting young people involved for their futures in terms of Jewish music.
Yes. Toronto, well known in the whole entire world, that this is one of the places that Chazanim used to davening in Shabbatot with full choir. I used to have a choir, Dr. Bram Goldener, nice 22 people singing with us. He used to have a choir, Charlie Heller, very famous composer and choir conductor in Toronto, originally from England. He wrote so much music, so much compositions from him, and he used to sing, not only him, but everybody. And the harmony, to see the harmony, and Louis in the top of all of them, sometimes with a beautiful falsetto tune and his crescendo and minuendo, it was just beautiful. It just he was a beautiful coloratura. He hated to sing hard and heavy. He always said, sing mezzo soprano, mezzo forte, but you sing forte, and it hurts your voice. And I used to come with him to learn from him. He has eyes. When he opened the door, and he's looking at me, and he just made, I feel like he made a rengan on me.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Just look at me and said, you know exactly if I'm tired or not, I'm not tired.
Oh.
That's wonderful. Just his experience is so good. I was recommended to many Chazanim used to come and practice with him.
Uh-huh.
Everybody came out from him very highly happy. Chazan Moshe Shulov, Allah Shalom, also used to come to hear him and sing with him.
Well, we're fortunate that we have so many of his recordings that will guarantee that for many, many years to come, we will continue to be able to enjoy his great singing.
Yeah, this is legacy. He left behind so much music, so much. I mean, I have the tape, I have the videos, I have everything.
Right.
It was one of the kind of Chazanim that the world should appreciate, that they have such a voice. And people can learn from that a lot. Style, listen to the voice, listen exactly what how he presented, how he opened the first verse of the tune, how did he go there, and how did you manage his voice from chest voice to the head voice. Through the passage, you have to maneuver the beautiful things, but not hearsing his voice. And this is for the style. I used to start to sing like him, so people used to say, that's Louis Danto student. Well, many recordings that I did, and everybody said, but he always used to come to say to me, yeah, that was good, but here you have to do like that, you have to do this, you have to take more breath, less voice, more breath.
He was always the teacher, huh? Right.
I love him. I'm never going to forget him. In Israel, I'm teaching at the school in Israel with Eli Yaffe in Israel Ram, in Chesky Klang. We have a school, wonderful school in Petah Tikva.
Uh-huh.
I gave one evening, they called the students, and was my sessions for like 45 minutes. I gave a session about Louis Danto. And I put some recordings on him, and I showed him what is the music style. I mean, here I am, I'm going to show exactly how he is doing this. How you need to bring your voice to that. And after that, students came up and said, wow, we love to learn this style. And they're studying and learning.
Good. Yeah. Well, Cantor Rotner, thank you so much for sharing your reminiscences of Cantor Danto, and I look forward to visiting you in your new shul.
Thank you so much, Charlie. Have a shana tova, and gmar chatima tova. We can still say that until Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Charlie.
Okay, that was Cantor Yehuda Rotner, and as you heard him mention, he recently got a position in, Cedarhurst at Bethel? It's in the Five Towns, and I'm sure we'll be hearing more from Yehuda, and I have his recordings as well as Meisner, so this program has... it will be inspiring me to go beyond my usual collection of selections. Let's hear Cantor Danto. I know it's a little more than an hour, but each of the sections, the first hour and the second hour, will run 5 or 10 minutes beyond. So let's hear. This is Hashki Venu. Cantor Danto.
Hashki Venu Hashem Elokeinu Leshalom, leshalom. V'ha'amideinu malekeinu Taknenu beitza tova milefanecha Vehaoshiyenu, vehaoshiyenu Leman Yeah.
Well, this brings to the close the first part of this interview and presentation of the recordings of cantor Louis Danto, Louis Danto. It's Charlie Byrne, I'm hoping that you enjoyed this first hour and come back for the second hour. You know how to reach me at cbjmusic@aol.com. If you have any comments or requests, that's cbjmusic@aol.com. Thanks for joining with me. Don't forget to tell your friends about the program. Remember that word of mouth is one of the best forms of advertising. Thank you so much, and stay tuned for the next hour. Thank you.